We're in Kelowna, a historic city that would be a great place to visit all year round. But we've not just come at any time of year. We're here for Maslenitsa, also known as Butter Week or Shrovetide, and it's kind of a big deal here in Russia. Nadezhda, why are blini, pancakes, the main food, the main symbol of this event?
It's actually a fairly recent thing. You could say that the focus on eating pancakes spread throughout Russia during the Soviet times, when in 1958, Maslenitsa was reintroduced under a new name. The festival was then known as Bidding Farewell to Russian Winter. If, however, we look at ethnographic materials from the previous period, like 19th century records, we'll see there were a whole lot of other dishes apart from pancakes. In Siberia, for example, they made хворост and орешки. In any case, those were typically very rich dishes with a lot of fat. Орешки was butter-based. In the south, like in territories of Krasnodar and the Voronezh region, people made dumplings filled with cherries, cottage cheese, and many other things. A great deal of fish was consumed during Maslenitsa as well. All kinds of fish soups, fish turnovers, you name it. So they did make pancakes, but they also made other things, including smaller, fluffier pancakes, etc. The relatively large and thin pancake didn't become the definitive symbol of Maslenitsa until quite recently. You could say it happened almost in our lifetime.
Okay. Well, despite them being a recent thing, does the shape and the colour of these pancakes have some sort of symbolism? Some even believe they're connected with life and death. Is that true? And if so, how?
There's symbolism, of course. In any Russian home, pancakes were seen as a funeral commemorative food. They would be cooked and shared on the 9th or 40th day after someone's passing to remember them. The first Maslenitsa pancake was often made in memory of a deceased relative. It would be placed on a religious icon case or given to the poor. The belief in Russia is that the poor can somehow transfer food to the netherworld. So the pancake is a commemorative dish. Pancakes were obviously also made for funerals or during Yuletide to honor your ancestors.
Right. Well, Nadezhda, these pancakes have been staring at us now for a while, making me hungry. So I guess my main Maslenitsa question is, what do you eat them with?
You can use all kinds of toppings or just eat them as they are. But here's a thing to remember. Maslenitsa is the week before Great Lent, which means you can eat anything except meat. So meat was excluded while everything else was fine. Cheese, cottage cheese, homemade jam, sour cream, honey, and caviar, of course. Red or black.
Very posh.
Yep.
Great. Well, shall we try them then?
Let's do it. Our pancakes come with snow.
Yeah, and a bit cold as well.
Yes.
Oh, two. Uh-huh. I mean, you helped me there, Nadezhda. Thank you so much. Nadezhda, so what is Maslenitsa? I know it comes from the Russian word masla, which means butter, but what's that got to do with it?
It's true. Maslenitsa has to do with butter directly. It's the week before Great Lent, which meant you were supposed to lay off animal-based or dairy food for 48 days. products like butter, eggs, milk, cheese, etc. Its name in the Russian Orthodox calendar, by the way, is also linked to food. It's known as Cheese Fair Week, which has the same idea. Actually, not everyone called it Масленица. People in the Архангельск region called it Зятня Week, from Zet or Zet, son-in-law. Because that's when mothers-in-law would invite their sons-in-law for pancakes.
Right.
So the main idea was to promote family ties.
Mm-hmm. And is that why it lasts the whole week?
It's not really clear why it lasts a whole week, but popular celebrations often lasted for a period of several days. Mm-hmm. Yuletide is even longer. I guess it comes from the church calendar, where you have Meat Fair Week followed by Cheese Fair Week, and then it must have become a popular tradition.
Okay, but it's also about saying goodbye to winter and welcoming the spring as well, right?
That's not entirely accurate.
Right, okay.
Or rather, almost entirely inaccurate. Those ideas were not introduced until fairly recently. Before then, it was really a feast to bid farewell to certain foods. That's number one. Then it was also about maintaining social connections. A major focus of Масленица was newlyweds and your relatives, both living and deceased. You were also supposed to maintain contact with them.
Now, here's one for you, Nadezhda. I heard that roller coasters, or Russian hills, as they were called back in the day, first appeared during Masleniza festivities in Napoleonic times. Is that true?
Yes, there is this story which sounds a bit like a fairy tale. However, it's backed by historical facts. What we know is that there were high slides put up for Masleniza festivities, which foreigners called Russian mountains. They were really huge structures, especially in the times of Peter the Great and Catherine II. They were ice slides decorated with fir trees, which twisted and turned. There's a legend related to the Napoleonic Wars. Apparently, after the Russian army entered Paris, because the weather didn't allow them to make those traditional Russian ice slides, they made a sled on wheels, designed to be run on rails. However, such sleds had already been made in Russia under Catherine II, and were said to be very popular. So the idea was first showcased in France before picking up by the Americans. That's why we call roller coasters American mountains in Russian, while some Westerners know them as Russian mountains.
Interesting. That's fascinating. Thanks, Nadezhda. And I see, obviously, people are in a great mood here. There's lots of dancing, there's music. But I also heard that fighting was also a part of Масленица celebrations. Why on earth would people fight now?
Once again, let's not forget that Масленица had several meanings, and one of its purposes is socializing. The whole community would get together. Girls would wear their best dresses, buy new scarves, put on, I don't know, makeup to present themselves to potential suitors. And what were young men supposed to do? They were expected to show their strength, courage, gaiety. That's why they would have fist fights, with one line of fighters pitched against another. They built snow fortresses, with one side defending the fortress against the other's attempts to capture it. There were also horse rides and all kinds of other competitions that allowed men to flaunt their strength and courage and present themselves in the best light.
Okay. We have this wonderful scarecrow here made of hay, and people have tied ribbons to it, and often they're dressed up. Why would they burn it down?
Well, this Масленица effigy is not the only doll of its kind. There are many spring and summer festivals involving a straw effigy of some kind dressed in female or male clothes that is later burned. And even not necessarily burned. Before, the Масленица effigy could be simply taken apart and strewn about a field. The main idea was to destroy it. Why? Firstly, it's all about the symbolic destruction of the festive period ending, which helps us transition into the next, more orderly period. In our case, it's the transition into Great Lent, Масленица fires were also used to destroy Масленица food, to avoid any temptation and to burn old junk.
Okay, you're not tempted.
It's only in modern times that we have this effigy to burn. Well, previously, people would bring out their trash and set it on fire, such as old tar barrels, brooms, even clay pots. The idea was to destroy old stuff to make way for new possessions. It's a bit like New Year traditions.
Okay. And is that why it's important to burn it on the last day of the holiday?
It's because that's it. Масленица is over. There's nothing else. We say goodbye to Масленица and we burn its effigy. It's the last Sunday before Great Lent, so we say goodbye to the holiday, we say goodbye to the food, which is, of course, hard to give up.
Yeah, of course.
It's also known as Forgiveness Sunday, because that's when we ask each other for forgiveness for all the sins and bad things we have done over the year. So the burning is the culmination of forgiving and forgetting.
Wow. Fascinating. Nadezhda, thank you very much. Maybe we should get out of here before they set this on fire. Yeah, okay. So we're at the Contemporary Art Park Nikola Lenivets just outside of Kaluga, and this is one of the many modern Russian Масленица festivities. I think I need a bit more practice though. Now, here Масленица Nikola Lenivets looks more like a Russian version of Burning Man than a folk festival. Why did you go down this path?
Honestly, when I started burning stuff around Масленица, I had no idea about Burning Man.
Ah, okay. Just a coincidence.
So I invented the proverbial bicycle quite independently, 30 years ago. There was nothing here in that field. The few remaining residents were in the process of leaving. When I started putting up my creations, I didn't have to ask anyone. This territory was effectively no man's land. Luckily for me, the first burning I did was actually me cleaning up.
Oh, really?
Yes, I was just getting rid of the trash. I burned the first hay tower in 2000 just because it was easier for me to burn it than to disassemble it. So it was a natural and easy process. Later, however, Burning Man executives did come here and begged us to go there. But we have our own place, and I'm very happy that it can have friendly relations with bigger events. Let the Americans have their Burning Man. And we'll have our Nikola Lenivets.
This is the largest Масленица festival in the whole of Russia, maybe even the world. Why do you think it happens here? And why do you think people need this pagan festival in the 21st century.
We have essentially remained unchanged in this sense. We still need a time when we can let ourselves go. The government sometimes limits that. In a big city, we're all buttoned up in our suits and ties, but here, people can relax. It's always been like that. All people have something similar. A carnival, a festival where you can take more liberties than in everyday life. And then it's time to put your tie back on and get back to work.
And then they wait for next year.
They do, yes, to have this cathartic experience again. Winter is a tough time for people. We get tired of it. Our visitors come with expectations of winter ending soon and a new beginning. It's a transitional event. The bigger our bonfire, the sooner warmth and summer and joy will come. The sooner we'll be able to enjoy warm weather, and the sooner this tedious winter will come to an end at last.
And how does the idea go from the drawing board to being brought into fruition and standing there behind us?
This year we picked the world-famous literary hero Don Quixote as our theme. That's why we have windmills, because he famously tilted them by mistake. There's a strong architectural component to that. We assembled these windmills, which actually spin. So it also serves as kinetic art. That's why I think we'll have an even more impressive burning than in previous years. I think it will be a memorable event. But we'll see.
And at what point do you think that the concept, the artist's idea for this work of art, is envisaged? Is it when it's burning?
Sure. Before, we only burned old stuff. For example, we had a structure which was a mixture of television towers, and it stood for about 2.5 years. It got old, and we decided to remove it by burning it down during Maslenitsa in front of a crowd. These days we put up a new structure over the course of 2 months or so. It's a pity having to burn them, of course. But what matters most to me is the kind of fire sculpture they make.
So it sounds like an essential part of these structures is their transience. And obviously people are going to film them on their phones. Would you prefer them to put the phones away and just enjoy the spectacle?
On the one hand, we're all about art, you know? We're an open-air museum where you can touch everything and even climb on some pieces, which is a big no-no at regular museums. You're not supposed to keep your phone on in a theater. But here, everything's allowed. Our goal is to create the kind of art that works even with ringing phones and people touching it. That actually invites our guests to come into contact with the artists through interaction.
Now, Nikolai, I must ask you this question. There are hundreds, thousands of people around us. I must admit, it's a bit cold. We're in a field in the middle of nowhere. It's a bit muddy. Why do so many people go to all this effort to come here?
All I can say is that I really love it. I sometimes ask them what draws them here. That they keep coming is a miracle, not unlike the art we try to do here. And apparently there must be something in what we do that makes people happy and willing to come. This phenomenon needs further research. Someone might do it later and figure out the big deal. But this thing is so rewarding in so many ways that I don't want to overanalyze it.
Okay, yeah, just enjoy it.
It just happens so.
Just enjoy it, yeah. And finally, Nikolayevets is also known as the home of the large fire. What do you think the fire symbolizes for the art park here?
Fire has always symbolized a cleansing of sorts and a new beginning. When people make fire in their backyards, they often burn old stuff, junk or something harmful. I think it's about the beginning of a new summer life. We're making lots of plans for the future. We're burning old, discarded things, making way for something good and new, for everyone who comes here, and for ourselves as well.